From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we continue as in our following Jesus as he's teaching some pretty challenging lessons. Last week we, from Luke 14, we were challenged because it made us wrestle with the truth about our commitment to following Jesus. And today, Jesus is really laying it on his listeners, and that includes us. There's no more time for games. He's putting it all on the line. And so he tells us of our responsibility for finding the lost. Those who are unbelievers, those who once sat among us and have drifted away. It's uncomfortable when Jesus gets right up in our face. And he stands on our toes. And as I prepared this message this week, I feel like Jesus miraculously put on about 250 pounds as he stepped on my toes. For, you see, I realize how I personally have failed to respond to the lost. And friends, these challenging messages aren't meant to condemn us, but to change us. And that often means it has to make us feel uncomfortable. Today's text contains two parables which are about two valuable things which have been lost. And these two things, a sheep and a coin, they have monetary value. And they're valuable to both rich and poor. And the owners of these things, well, they would not just shrug their shoulders and say, "Hey, I lost this very valuable coin, but now it's gone." No, they would have stopped everything they were doing just to start and started looking for it. This included the religious leaders. I mean, who here has not lost their wallet or their purse? Or today, their cell phone, right? Doesn't it drive you crazy, even haunt you, until you find these things? Yes, because they have value to us, and so we stop what we're doing and we go look for them. Well, if this is true about things that are lost, shouldn't it be even more so true of people who are spiritually lost? You know, we don't have to be theologians or rocket scientists to understand that Jesus is talking about lost people in these parables. We should respond to spiritually lost people in an even more urgent way than we do lost things. Shouldn't we put forth at least the same effort and perseverance in finding lost people as we do lost things? And when they are found, shouldn't we celebrate and be relaxed and be as happy or more happy of finding lost people as we do finding our lost car keys or our lost phone? The main point of Jesus' teaching today is a reminder of how we as Christians should feel and care and react to the lost. Now, it can be argued that the shepherd here and the woman are God, and it's speaking about how God just never gives up. He keeps persistently pursuing those of us who are lost. But even so, if God reacts this way to those who are lost, shouldn't we who make up the body of Christ on earth respond in the same? So how do we do this? Well, I would like to offer three things that we must do in order to reach the lost. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were muttering, 'This man, he welcomes the sinners, and he even eats with them.'" The cheating tax collectors and everyone else who they considered were doing wrong and living wrong, well, they're the lost here. And it's interesting. They're not the ones running away from Jesus. They're not the ones standing back from Jesus. They're not the ones trying to avoid him or even challenge his teachings. No, they've gathered around him to see what he, you know, what he's going to say. They want to hear it. And so we have to ask ourselves, why aren't they leaving Jesus? Why are they gathering around him? Jesus certainly wasn't ignoring their sins. He wasn't saying, "You know what? Doesn't matter. I just love you. Just don't change." No, he wasn't. And they weren't gathering around to watch him perform miracles either. So why? Why were they accepting his criticism? And I think it's because he was compassionate toward them. The Pharisees often told the lost and the sinners the same things that Jesus was, but they wrapped their message up in criticism and condemnation. They belittled them. They approached them with disgust. In contrast, Jesus, he reached out in love. He showed his love through empathy and compassion, and he welcomed them to eat with him. The Greek word for welcome is often translated as to receive as a friend. Jesus related to them. He welcomed them as friends. He was compassionate and accepting of them as people despite their sins. And they were attracted to him because of the attitude and love that he showed toward them. The question is, do we share Jesus' attitude toward the lost? If we as individuals and as a church are going to reach the lost people, the sinful people, then we're going to have to show them that we care about them, we accept them as people, and that we love them. And so the first thing we need in order to reach lost people is just compassion and grace. Think about it this way. One of my friends is a police officer. And he said, we were talking about this. He's one of my counselors at camp, and we were talking about at an accident scene. He said there are three groups of people at an accident scene. One are the bystanders, the onlookers. And they're not involved in any way. They're just there. They're watching, seeing things, but they're not involved. The second group of people are the police officers. And I know police officers have many responsibilities at the scene of an accident or something like that. But one of the things is, they are there to investigate the cause of the accident, assign blame, and then, you know, deal out proper warnings or punishments. And the third group of people are the medical personnel, the paramedics, the first responders. They're the people most people are happy to see because they could care less whose fault it was. They're not there to chastise the person or the driver because of their actions or anything like that. They're just there to stop the bleeding, to bandage, to take care, to encourage, to offer hope. So three groups of people are at an accident. Those who are uninvolved, those who are assessing blame, assigning blame, and those who are helping the hurting. The question for us is, which group are we in? When it comes to reaching the lost and hurting, we usually end up in one of these three groups. So will we be uninvolved and let other people do the work? Or, you know, will we rebuke and condemn people for their bad and foolish behavior, saying, "You know what, none of this would have happened if you would have been living the right way, if you would have been made better decisions"? Or will we be involved with helping those who are hurting and the lost? And I hope we will respond like Jesus with compassion and grace. Unfortunately, many churches today are acting as the moral police instead of the paramedics. This is how the Pharisees and the religious leaders acted, more interested in criticizing and condemning the sinners than in showing compassion and helping them and seeing a better way. Now, it's okay to be concerned with a corrupt state of moral values. We should be. But we must guard against condemning and ostracizing the lost. Unbelievers never flock or listen to people who ridicule them or put them down or condemn them. So compassion is a must for reaching the lost. The second thing we need to reach the lost is effort. We have to put forth effort. When my son Ben was about 1 or 2 years old and my middle daughter Abby was 5 or 6, we went to a state park. And we were going to explore some of the trails and the streams and the bridges. And so we pulled into this little parking lot. And Jody and my oldest daughter, Samantha, crossed the little park road and headed down a path to where the swinging bridge was. And I was putting Ben in his backpack and Abby was with me. And she said, "Can I go with Mom?" And I said, "Sure." And so I watched her as she started across the road. And then I turned around to put Ben in his backpack. And I got him on my back, and I went down, and I met Jody and Sam, and I said, "Where's Abby?" And they said, "She's with you." I said, "No, she isn't. She followed you down the path." And so we started looking around. We started calling her name, and we were getting nothing. Then we started yelling her name, getting nothing. And then we started looking through the woods and along the stream. We didn't know if she fell in the water, was lost in the woods, if someone picked her up. We just kept looking and calling and getting louder. And then Jody, like a mama bear, up the trail, up over the mountain, she went looking for her. I went and got in the van and I jumped and went down the road. And there she was, about a half mile down, coming back. She thought that they had gone down the road instead of down the path. And my friends, let me tell you, there was much rejoicing when we all got together, like in these parables. The point here is that it took effort to find Abby, and it will take effort to find the lost. In the parable of the sheep, Jesus said that the shepherd would leave the other 99 sheep in the open hillside to go look for that lost sheep. And in the parable of the coin, the woman lights a lamp. She's been looking for it all day, and she doesn't stop. She lights a lamp to continue to sweep the floor looking for this coin. In both cases, effort was put into finding them. The woman didn't wait for the coin just to show up. The shepherd didn't wait for the sheep just to wander in. We didn't wait for Abby to find us. But in our Christian lives and in the church, we often tend to wait for the lost to come find us. We respond passively instead of aggressively. We're opening our doors on Sunday morning and just hoping they'll wander in. And I know, if I asked, all of you would say that finding lost people is important. And you're probably thinking of someone you know right now who is spiritually lost. I know I am. And yet we don't go looking for them. We spend more time searching for something on TV or on our cell phone than we do for looking for lost people. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be his disciples, then we have to change. We have to make some changes. We need to put forth effort. And so how do we begin? Well, first, I think we have to begin with prayer. We have to pray and ask God we need to pray for the lost and pray for opportunities to recognize the lost, pray for opportunities to engage with the lost, and pray that we will have the right words to say to them when we get an opportunity to speak to them. So we have to pray. Second, we have to structure and design the ministries of our churches, First Church right here, toward reaching the lost and making disciples. Yes, it is true. We need to take care and teach those who are already with us and already believe. But we can't ignore Jesus' command to go out and seek the lost. I think we need to consciously decide to put our money where our mouth is. And if we do have this desire to reach the lost, then we need to be willing to budget money towards ministries that go out and do just that. And the fourth thing is, we need to personally get involved, each and every one of us. It has to be more than just willing to put money into the offering plate so others can go do it, but each one of us need to say, how can I get involved in this search party? So to reach the lost, we need compassion, we need to put forth effort, and we need to be persistent. In both parables, Jesus emphasized that the person searching continued their search until they found what they were looking for. Jesus is saying that finding the lost will not always be easy and quick. Usually our first attempts don't succeed. Sometimes it takes years of persistent prayer and relationship building and invitation. But we shouldn't get discouraged and give up. If a sheep or a coin or our keys or our cell phone, if they're valuable enough to persistently search for them, then people who are created in the image of God, people who God loves, people we love, well, they too should be considered too valuable to give up on. Yo-Yo Ma is perhaps the most famous cellist in the world, very gifted. And I read a story once about him in which he, after an exhausting performance in New York City's Carnegie Hall, he went back to his hotel room and just collapsed in his bed, got up early the next morning, still exhausted, and called a cab to take him across New York to the other side of the city in order to get ready for another concert. And when the cab pulled up, he put his 300-year-old handcrafted Venetian cello worth $2.5 million in the trunk. And when he arrived to his next hotel site, he paid the driver, went up to his room, only then to remember that his cello was still in the cab. And so he started a frantic search for this cab, trying to figure out where it could possibly be. Then he remembered that he had his receipt from the cab driver that had the cab driver's ID number on it. And for the whole day, they scoured the city trying to track down this cab, finally found it in a parking garage in Queens. And when they got there, they opened the trunk and the cello was there. And Yo-Yo Ma, he just celebrated. He was just so joyful. Point is, Yo-Yo Ma did not quit. He persisted because what was lost was too valuable to give up on. Jody and I did not give up looking for Abby because she was too valuable to give up looking for. God did not and has not given up looking for you because you are too valuable to give up on. The spiritually lost are too valuable to God for us to give up on. Compassion, effort, and persistence. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were indifferent toward the lost. They just didn't care and often were critical of Jesus for welcoming them as his friends. And Jesus taught how wrong they were, especially when compared to their efforts to find lost material things, which had much less value than a human soul. Jesus pointed out that they would rejoice and even throw a party when they found their lost things. So how much more should they celebrate in finding a lost person? He then explained that heaven rejoices when a lost person is found. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. If lost people are so important to God, shouldn't they matter to us as well? If lost people are so valuable to God that Jesus put forth his most maximum effort and died on the cross for them, shouldn't we put forth our maximum effort to find the lost? If God's heart aches for the lost, shouldn't our heart ache for the lost as well? I hope our answer is yes. Compassion, effort, persistence. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word today. Again, it's a heavy word that weighs on our heart, for we all know people who are lost. And even if we don't know someone who doesn't know you, we know that they're out there. And we have been called to share this good news that they have can be found and live in your love. We're called to go to all corners of the world. And so even if we don't know the person, we know they're out there and we should go find them. And that's hard for us to hear. It's hard for us to get out of our comfort zones. But we thank you this day for this word. May it not beat us down. May it not beat us up. But Lord, may it help us to think and help us to change, to become more like you, a good shepherd who seeks for the lost. So, Lord, help our hearts to think about this. Give us courage to go forth. Help us, Lord, to have that compassion. Help us, Lord, to put forth the effort, and help us to be persistent in doing your will. This we ask in your holy, holy name. Amen.